This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We were just talking about how Jurickson Profar is performing at an all-star level for the San Diego Padres. If something did ever happen, knock on wood, to Jurickson Profar, the Padres now potentially have a replacement to stick into the outfield, a veteran replacement, in case you missed it over the weekend. The Padres signed David Peralta to a minor league deal. Yeah, the same David Peralta that used to torture him with the Arizona Diamondbacks and then went to the Dodgers last year and, you know, has put up good offensive numbers in his career. He had signed a minor league deal with the Cubs in the offseason, and because they had not called him up, he was able to opt out of that deal, become a free agent again, and he decided to join the San Diego Padres. So, Woods, your thoughts on the move this weekend, adding David Peralta to the Padres organization?
I'm all for it. I'm all for it. You know, these kind of moves can help you. Again, we were talking about it in the dugout yesterday, the Tier 1 game, and people were, you know, lightly semi-excited about it. Like, my quote was, well, if you can't get him out, then just sign him to your team. And I know wasn't really on a team that you had to face. But, yeah, man, I mean, you bring in a veteran guy like that, Benny, if somebody does go down. But the funny thing is, the way our roster is constructed right now with the addition of Arizen Solano, and I look at what we have right now, and I go, "Oh yeah, he's injury only. I don't think you add him to this team as it's currently constructed."
So that was my first thought as well. It's just an insurance policy.
Yeah, but because I like having Tyler Wade there today. If you get the winning run on second base, I mean, we just saw it play out against the Dodgers. Tyler Wade is very valuable off the bench to pinch run. I mean, he very very much is.
I think the question here, though, is not why did the Padres sign David Peralta to a low-risk
right.
minor league deal? Why wouldn't the Padres sign David
sure.
Peralta? The question is, why did David Peralta sign
with
the San Diego Padres as opposed to some other team that might have had a more immediate vacancy in the outfield? He was already with the Cubs, a team that is doing well, but wasn't, you know, interested apparently enough in calling him up to use him on the major league level. So what was it about the Padres, I'm curious, that made David Peralta decide, of 29 other teams that might have been interested, that the Padres were the one that he chose?
It's a good question, man. I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. You'd have to ask David Peralta what he saw in the San Diego Padres. But I was reading on MLB trade rumors. It said, look, Peralta figures to offer the Padres veteran depth in the outfield with their severely lacking and reliable options. Tatis locked down right. Profar is off to an incredible start. Jackson Merrill in center. But after that, you've got Jose Azokar as the only real guy that can do it. Tyler Wade can play some outfield in a pinch, but yeah, man, I mean, having that bat off the bench, if somebody goes down, that's fairly valuable.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, I think it was a good move by the Padres. I just wonder, does David Peralta know something that we don't?
He signed and was right in the El Paso lineup.
Yeah, had two hits on Saturday night in his first game. He's a veteran hitter. Guy
yeah.
knows how to hit. Is he good defensively?
He won a gold glove, but that doesn't mean a whole lot.
No, I mean, at this point, I would say he's definitely a minus defender in the outfield. But, you know, yeah, the Padres don't have a lot of depth in the outfield. This is something now that if something did happen to someone, gives them another option to call up. Got a lineup in already for game one.
Oh, let's hear it.
Of the series against the Atlanta Braves. I will share it to you, because I think it is very telling as to the strategy for today. First, though, we need a contestant for Take on Woods. If you want to call in and get online while we read through the lineup, give us a call. 833-288-0973. Need a caller to Take on Woods in our musical trivia challenge. Five questions with a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas and concert tickets coming up momentarily. 833-288-0973. So here's the lineup for game one of the doubleheader. Luis Arias leading off in the designated hitter. Fernando Tatis Jr. batting second. Jurickson Profar hitting third. Jake Cronenworth at first hitting cleanup. Manny Machado batting fifth, playing third base. Xander Bogaerts at second base hitting sixth. Jackson Merrill in center field batting seventh. Luis Camposano catching batting eighth. And Ha-Sung Kim shortstop batting ninth. It is your regular, normal A lineup with Dylan Cease on the mound in game one against Reynaldo Lopez today.
Exact same lineup as last night.
Do you know what that tells me? Padres are putting all their eggs in let's win the series in the first game basket. And then we'll take our chances with probably a couple of guys getting off their feet in game two, with Randy Vasquez in the bullpen being asked to take on Chris Sale, who's been fantastic so far. This is an absolute doubleheader in which both teams have targeted one game.
Correct.
I have not seen the Braves lineup, but my guess is that they will give some of their guys the feed off in the early game, and they will load up with Chris Sale in the afternoon in an attempt to make sure that they get at least the split. And both teams, if you're being honest, if you could just say right now, you want to skip these games and just go one and one?
Yes!
I bet both teams go, done, and the Padres head to the airport to get on the plane for Cincinnati at this moment.
You know, though, I don't know, because Reynaldo Lopez is pretty nasty.
Now they're running out. I mean, the Braves are running out their standard.
They got a normal lineup? Okay.
Because he's pretty nasty. So you feel like, you know, Dylan Cease did lose to the Rockies, but not necessarily his fault in the slightest. It's baseball.
No guarantee. The Padres are the team that makes the least sense. So, I mean, they'll lose this first game and win the next one.
Yeah.
We have no idea. But in terms of at least baseball strategy, it looks like the Padres are definitely
going for it.
Going for it in game one. See if you can get the series clinched, locked up. And then game two would be just gravy. Like, hey, let it loose.
Higgy,
nothing
Sugar,
to lose at this point.
Tyler.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll see Kyle Higashioka behind the plate. You're not going to ask Campy to do both games.
What if you lose?
They still think you have to go with, you know, Higgy and some of the backups in game two. So this is why you're putting your eggs. This is the pressure game. The pressure game for the Padres is game one. Once you win that, all the pressure is off, and game two is simply gravy and going for the mop, as our Cespedes Family Barbecue guys would call it, the four-game mop of the Atlanta Braves on the road. But you have to take game one with Dylan Cease against Reynaldo Lopez.
What I wouldn't do for a mop after we just talked about it the other day.
Game one lineup for the Braves, you heard the Padres.
Yeah.
Braves are going Acuna in right, Albies at second, Ozuna DH, Olsen at first, Arcia at short, Michael Harris in center, Short at third, Kalenic in left, and Trump catching.
All right, pretty much last night's lineup
pretty much.
Yep. So both teams going with their normals, at least in the lineup in game one of the series.
We do get to call up an extra player today. No indications of who that's going to be.
I believe that is still the rule. They've changed a lot of rules, but I do believe you get a 27th player on the active roster in a doubleheader. You'd think it's a pitcher, although there's no obvious candidates. Joe Musgrove won't be coming off the injured list until tomorrow. Plus, you wouldn't be using him today anyway, which leaves you with Tom Cosgrove's down there. He pitched yesterday.
Not gone well.
You've got Alec Jacob, who's down there. I don't even know how he's performed lately. Jay Groom's on the injured list. Reese Kinnear's on the injured list. I don't even know who you have left on the 40-man roster that you could call up as a pitcher down there. Jackson Wolf, you just reacquired. I wonder whose locker is set up right now at Truist Park, a name that we didn't see yesterday.
David Peralta, perhaps, even though we do think it's going to be a pitcher. You know, but you got to add somebody to the 40-man and all that, so I have no idea. No idea.
All right, let's take a little break from the Padres talk and get to today's game of Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods.
Woods.
Going to go with Nick today and take on Woods, which is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes, and you don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. Nick, good morning to you. Welcome to Take on Woods.
Good morning. What's up, guys?
All right. If you can beat or tie Woods, we will put you into the drawing for our grand prize getaway. Two nights at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Two tickets to Warrant, Lita Ford, and Paralandra on June 22nd. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. The Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino features newly designed premier rooms, part of their $70 million in room renovations. All right, here are your categories to give you a little advantage here. We have In the Year of Our Lord, five different songs that include years in the title. Written by Prince, those are five artists, the hits that were actually written by Prince. And our In a Word category returns. In a Word, Nirvana. Those are single-word Nirvana song titles, but I'm not going to ask you about the song. I'm going to give you kind of a trivia question about the word as the title to the song for those. So In the Year of Our Lord, written by Prince, or In a Word, Nirvana. What would you like to play, Nick?
In the Year of Our Lord.
In the Year of Our Lord. All right, Nick, we have five questions with five different songs that all include years in the title. You'll have 60 seconds to answer as many as you can. If you miss one or need to pass, we can come back to it if there's time left on the clock at the end. First question is the two-second song. Polly's going to play a short clip. You need to give me the title with that year and the artist to score that one. So, Nick, you ready to go?
Yep.
Right, 60 seconds.
I need 1 second.
Polly needs 1 second. By the way, I do have the news that it is Logan Gillespie that was recalled from AAA El Paso as the club's 27th man for today's doubleheader. All right, 60 seconds on the clock. Category In the Year of Our Lord. Nick, your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck. Let's take on Woods.
Oh, we lost Nick.
Oh, where Nick is calling back in. All right.
Hang on.
No wonder no one was saying anything.
Hey,
Nick, we lost you. You back? Hang on. We'll start over again.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
All right. We can hear you again. All right. Here we go. Starting over. Right. 60 seconds back on the clock. Your time.
Heard the rules, right? You know?
You got the rules. You know how it works.
Yeah.
Okay. Time begins when Paul plays the music. Category In the Year of Our Lord. Good luck, Nick. Let's take on Woods. A documentary about Nostradamus inspired which Prince classic that contains a message of non-nuclear proliferation? Frontman Billy Corgan thought of himself growing up as a 12-year-old when he wrote which Smashing Pumpkins hit 17 years later? Which song by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons is subtitled Oh What a Night? At 20 minutes, which title track by Rush goes down as the longest song ever recorded by the Canadian band?
Oh, my God. This is bad. I should have just stayed off the line.
Go back to the two-second song. I'm just curious, Nick. Can you think of any song titles that have a year in them at all?
Party Like 1999.
That would have been the right answer for the Prince question. 1999 would have been right. You didn't say it, though, unfortunately. So your score is zero. Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams was the two-second song. 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins. December 1963 by the Four Seasons. And 2112 by Rush. All right, Woods is going to win this one.
Logan Gillespie, by the way.
Yes. We did learn about that.
Thank you, though.
Found that out.
Thank you for getting on top of that while
you're welcome.
Out of earshot. All right, 60 seconds back on the clock. Time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Nick.
Oh, that's Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams.
Correct. A Summer documentary nice. About Nostradamus inspired which Prince classic that contains a message of non-nuclear proliferation?
1999?
Correct. Frontman Billy Corgan thought of himself growing up as a 12-year-old when he wrote which Smashing Pumpkins hit 17 years later. What's the category?
category. Pass. Which song by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons is subtitled?
Oh, 1970.
Oh, what a night.
Hold on. Shakedown 1979.
That's
the
Smashing Pumpkins, correct. Okay, oh, what a night by the Four Seasons.
Late December back in 63.
That 20 minutes, which title track by Rush goes down as the longest
20
song?
12?
Correct. Thank you very much. Woodsy wins. 4.5-0. It's December 1963 is the official
zero?
Title.
Zero? We had another zero?
Yeah, we had a
Sorry,
zero.
Sorry, Nick.
Sorry,
yeah.
Nick. Nick dropped off right as we started the game and had to get back on the line. It was a choppy game of Take On
Wolves. It's all right. We got a short show today. Nobody's going to remember it. Just my dominance. It's fine.
We will come back with a don't and do this, including, of course, because he went deep yesterday. We've got the Korean call of Ha Sung Kim's home run.
Oh, and we've got radio TV beef in Chicago, and it is juicy.
That's coming up next with Ben Woods after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Ugh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Take On Woods is brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. You know where I went yesterday to
Valvoline
change my oil?
Instant Oil Change.
Valvoline Instant Oil Change. You know how long it took?
15 minutes.
How
badass is it?
I didn't have to get out of my car.
You played on your phone?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just sat there, played on my phone.
Yeah.
It was great. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. I even used SoCalOilChange.com to get a discount. $10
off.
Just scanned it right off the app on my car. It was really easy.
It's super easy.
SoCalOilChange.com.
It's fun, right? Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think there needs to be, you know how colleges sometimes offer like fun elective classes occasionally? I think there needs to be an entire class devoted to Magic Johnson's Twitter account.
Absolutely.
Just kind of going through the pantheon of Magic tweets. Had another one this weekend that people were enjoying. So Magic was actually congratulating Steph Curry. He won the PWBA, Professional Writers Basketball Association, Magic Johnson Award, which is because he's, you know, good with the media, displays grace dealing with media and fans. So he congratulated Steph Curry, and then he added, by the way, Steph Curry, I had fun hanging out with your mom last night at the Sparks home opener. Which he did. He saw Steph Curry's mom and took a picture with her at the Sparks home opener, but just the way it kind of sounded on Twitter, people had a lot of fun with Magic's tweet. So Magic might want to edit that a little bit. He has not edited it. He just left it there.
Oh,
just
hey,
had fun with your mom last night.
Had fun with your mom last night. It's such an insult.
No, it's hey, congratulations on your award. By the way,
I had fun with your mom last night.
The implication is he was making love to Steph Curry's mother last night.
Oh, man.
The Magic and Cookie are still together and everything. Why don't you just say,
ran into your mom last night. So great.
What a lovely lady.
To see her.
Lovely lady.
He followed it up last night with another straight-up banger. This is incredible.
This is
11 hours ago.
This is for the midterm exam.
The Knicks' magical run came to an end today. No pun intended. Because the Pacers shot 67% from the field. I have been racking my brain.
Say it one more time.
The Knicks' magical run came to an end today. Open parentheses. No pun intended. Close parentheses. Because the Pacers shot 67%. The Knicks' magical run came to an end today. No pun intended.
That's not a pun. Now, there are no puns. Maybe like... Orlando's magic run came to an end today.
Correct.
No pun intended. That works. But the Knicks, that's not a pun. There's no pun there.
He just said, no pun intended, guys. I like, what if that was it? I'm not making a pun. Huh. So I just worked in. Just, so everything we say.
No pun intended.
Ben and Woods coming up tomorrow. No pun intended. I didn't intend to give you a pun, so I didn't give you a pun.
Fascinating, man.
Fascinating.
All right, you
stuff.
Have some beef.
Oh, radio
beef. You love
beef. I love radio beef. But this is radio VTV beef. So the Chicago White Sox, they lost their beloved TV play-by-play man, Jason Benetti, to the Detroit Tigers, and they replaced him with a guy by the name of John Schifrin. And, you know, new role for him. He's taken a lot of criticism from some local radio guys, the guys on Sports Radio 670, The Score. And the new guy comes in and they start picking on him on the air. And he gets a little upset. He's got rabbit ears. So he actually does this during a broadcast. Gordon Beckham is his analyst who used to play for the White Sox. So he flubbed an ad read. So listen to Schifrin's response.
Hey, it's my first game.
You're good. Don't worry about it.
All good.
If any of those radio losers clip it and try to make fun of you, nobody cares about them anyway.
You know what?
Oh, if any of those radio losers make fun of you and clip it, nobody cares about them anyway. So
if any of those radio losers clip it and try to make fun of you, nobody cares about them anyway.
So originally, like if Jesse said that about us, I would laugh because we know Jesse. We have a relationship with Jesse. They're not friendly. 670 The Score, they have been roasting this guy since he got there.
What kind of horrible person would clip someone's audio and then use it to make fun of them later?
Monster. Straight up
what
monster.
What would do that?
Monster would ever take just and again, especially a guy just trying to get through it. And he just flubs a few words. Big deal, right?
Couldn't be me.
So Shane,
what did we win? We won something. Here we go. There it is.
Good job with it.
Good job. Who?
What was it?
Good job. Was it? That's good job. Pulling audio to
make
fun of us.
So Shane Reardon, who is the producer, this would be like Paulie going on Twitter. He says, "If any of those radio losers clip that from John Schifrin, yeah, man, we're not going to make fun of Gordon Beckham for misreading a sponsor read. He's a good dude, but we'll for sure make fun of you." And then he says, he just starts. This guy unloads. This producer. John Schifrin loves to go into the clubhouse and be buddy-buddy with players. After a win, I was told Tommy Pham told him to calm the F down. We love Tommy Pham. So then he says, I also hate how this dumb business and even dumber team can make you so shallowly care about S that doesn't matter in the least. Then you bring it to Twitter for what reason? A break from all of it would be so good. They are beefing hard. Now, he offered Schifrin, this show had been critical of him. They offered him a chance to come on and visit and get to know each other. He declined. So they've just continued to pound him.
They were ripping him and then invited him on?
Yeah, they've been ripping him and he
I
said
get it,
no.
Then.
Speaking of missed sponsor reads, don't do this to me, because Don't Do This is actually brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sorrento Valley. Not by Valvoline. I was so excited about my trip to Valvoline. I did it twice in a row for Take on Woods and Don't Do This. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today, thecrafttaco.com. And don't do this to us. For everyone who's pointing out, obviously, Magic meant the Magic run ended because his name is Magic. That's why there was no pun intended.
I don't.
It's not great.
It's not good.
I guess because his name is Magic, he can say no pun intended.
I don't believe that.
We told you guys on Friday this was going to be a terrible Ben and Woods show.
No, yeah. So far,
on a two-hour time limit.
Come you're on. A real radio loser.
Sorry.
A real radio loser.
Paul, you can just take all the receipts now and clip them. All right, let's get to some doo-doo this.
DD Mega Doo-Doo.
It's one of our promises to you that if we can find it, we will bring you every Ha-Sung Kim home run in Korean. And here was the play-by-play with the Padres already up, what, 8-0 in the seventh inning when Ha-Sung Kim stepped to the plate.
빠른 공 올렸습니다. 왼쪽으로! 이 타구! 타구! 넘어갑니다! 김하성! 오늘 경기 쐐기를 만든 김하성의 솔로 홈런!
Solo home run.
Good energy for an 8-0 game. In the seventh inning,
man,
right there.
They ride for that guy, man.
I mean, that's the moments they live for.
Are they ever low energy?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think they
never.
Are.
Never. They know, you know, they're going to get between, what, 10 and 20 of those moments a year. They're going to make them all count 100%. When Ha-Sung Kim goes deep.
100%.
And that's don't and do this for a Monday, no pun intended.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we'll come back. We haven't really gotten to get into Matt Waldron's performance in Friday's game, the series opener against the Atlanta Braves prior to the rainout on Saturday. We'll discuss the surprising win of the series so far in Atlanta coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Sorry, Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Yeah, coming off the series against the Colorado Rockies. Not sure there was a more important game that the Padres have played this year than the one they played on Friday in Atlanta with Matt Waldron going to the mound against the red-hot Max Fried. Talk about that surprising victory for the San Diego Padres after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So when Friday's game started and the Padres immediately gave up runs in the bottom of the first inning, a run in the bottom of the first inning, and it looked like Matt Waldron was going to scuffle against the Atlanta Braves lineup, you just had a pit in your stomach going, oh, this is going to be a fourth straight loss, and you know now they've got a tough road trip ahead of them. Is this the moment where the season kind of really unravels now, coming off that series against the Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, you definitely thought too. Waldron's going to last three innings, and we are about to torch this bullpen here. And boy, Brian Snitker taking 15 minutes to try to review that play at third base really helped us. I didn't know what the hell had gone on, but it was a really nice throw. It was a good tag by Manny at third. He slid right through his legs, by the way. Manny tagged him on the leg. They were looking. They're going to challenge it. Oh, you ran out of time, pal. Thank God, because at that point, he probably would have been called safe. At that point, it could have been a huge, huge rally in the first inning. They got a gift there, and then they took advantage of it. I did see a lot of panic early about a 1-0 deficit for the San Diego Padres. And you know, listen, Matt Waldron knuckled down. Pun intended.
Pun intended.
Pun intended.
Very nice.
Thank you very much. He knuckled down, and man.
Well, that moment that in that first inning, the lack of a challenge may have been the lifeline that Matt Waldron needed to just help him get out of that inning. And after that, he was fantastic. 5 2/3, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, a career-high 10 strikeouts.
Nasty.
And it was just the second time all season the Padres had won a game that either Matt Waldron or Randy Vasquez had started. Now, did they get a ton of offense against Max Fried? Well, they only ended up with the 3 runs in the fifth inning, but they had 9 hits against Max Fried,
yeah,
who had allowed, I think, 8 in his 4 starts combined total. So getting 9 hits against Max Fried and getting him out of the game in the fifth inning, that was a huge win. And even though they didn't add on, they were able to hold on the rest of the game. And I thought the decision by Mike Shildt, I mean, I was so pleased.
The move. Let's just call it the move.
When he decided to go with Robert Suarez in the eighth inning against the top of the Braves lineup.
2-3-4, yeah.
Knowing that that's the spot, the most dangerous spot where a 3-1 lead could be lost is against those batters. And he wanted to, you know, hit the righty against the righties and get Ozzie Albies switched over to the left side, which they felt was a better matchup all the way around. And it wasn't a clean inning. He gave up a couple of hits,
yep.
had, had runners there, you know, tying runs out on base when he got out of the frame. And then they were hoping, you know, we can add on here in the ninth, and that's great. Or maybe if he has a quick inning in the eighth, we can bring him out for the six-out save. Didn't work out that way, so they went with Jeremiah Estrada with the two-run lead in the ninth inning. And what does Estrada do?
Strike out the side, dude. Say it, Donnie.
In the ninth inning.
So
down by way of the can.
Just phenomenal. I love to hear it. I love to hear it. I love to see it. I love that move. I was a little bit panicked there. I did not think they were going to bring Suarez back out again. I really didn't. It was a high-stress inning. He threw more pitches than he wanted to, more pitches than he's used to throwing in his inning. And I was like, please don't be Wandy Peralta or Colek. Estrada to me, I said, this, all right, the stuff absolutely plays. he did have three saves at El Paso, so clearly he can get the job done. I loved the move. I thought it was great. I think more managers should do that. That's where the game was essentially saved right there. And Robert Suarez picks up the hold, and Jeremiah Estrada picks up the save. A brilliant win. Let's also be honest. When we saw the lineup come out and we saw Crony batting in the four slot against a very tough lefty, Max Fried, yeah, you're like, oh, crap, okay, let's see what we can do. Monster night for Crony, 3-for-5. Profar continued to rake, and just an excellent. Struck out 18 Braves, man, and then scratched out 13 hits off of Braves pitching. All singles, my friend. All singles, just paper-cutted him to death.
When you talk about the lineup, moving Crony down to fourth was, to me, not as significant as Manny moving down to the fifth slot,
yeah.
Which is a place where he has almost never been seen since coming to the San Diego Padres. He's always been in the top four in the lineup.
Pretty much to the big
leagues.
Or
his entire career.
Yeah.
It goes to show you that the struggles are real, and the Padres are trying something to address it. And, you know, he remained in the fifth slot yesterday. My guess is he's in the fifth slot this morning. Not going to make a change after winning the first two games of the series. So at some point, Manny will work his way out of his slump, and he will need to be back in the top four spots in the order. But for now, no problem with Manny Machado batting fifth for the San Diego Padres right now.
He was all smiles last night. Doesn't seem like, you know, he's super upset about it. He knows he's scuffling. He's trying to get it going as well. But yeah, man, that was really something by Waldron on Friday night, man. Really something. And kudos to the Padres hitters for just wearing Max Fried down. Great ABs.
Back to Jeremiah Estrada. When the Padres are looking, I don't even know if they are looking for a true setup man to Robert Suarez. It's been very matchup-based with lefties like Matsui and Peralta, or righties like De Los Santos, who's very good against righties but not good against lefties. And maybe Estrada is just another one to add to the mix. But in terms of like the stuff that he's shown, he doesn't have the experience, you know, the massive experience of like a Wandy Peralta. But Jeremiah Estrada is a very intriguing option for more high leverage situations, whether it be in the eighth or the seventh inning. You know, I don't expect to see him in the ninth a lot, except in, you know, unusual circumstances like that game against the Braves. You're usually going to be saving Robert Suarez for those spots. But Jeremiah Estrada has shown the ability to get big league hitters out. And he's done it more consistently, really, than anyone in the bullpen other than Robert Suarez this year. So I would expect more high leverage innings for Jeremiah Estrada going forward.
And when one guy steps up like that, it just slots everybody down one, which is good. That's what you want. That's a problem that Mike Schilt really wants to have. And he can play matchups, Benny, in the sixth and the seventh and things like that with Wandy and Eniel and Yuki Matsui. Yuki Matsui started off so well, and he really looked like he had taken the reins on that setup role. Things change, man. Things absolutely change. And I like that they're willing to look at that and go, all right, this probably isn't working right now. But Estrada to step up like that and take that the other night, and for Suarez to put his ego aside and say, where do we need outs? Let me get them.
Well,
you know?
And notice that Mike Schilt opened his post-game press conference that night with the shout-out to Robert Suarez for doing that. And knowing that ultimately that's going to hurt the back of your bubble cum card a little bit.
100%.
You could get a save in that situation. You could wait for the ninth. It looks better on the resume when you get the saves, but it was more valuable for the team to him to get him to come into the eighth inning and tried to, you know, massage the egos a little bit to make it all work, and I thought he handled it pretty well for Robert Suarez. Now, remember, Robert Suarez isn't, you know, he's not heading toward arbitration.
No.
Trying to get to free agency. He's already gotten his contract. He's locked up with the Padres for, what, 2.5 more seasons after now. So he doesn't really – he's not in a position where he should be saying things like Josh Hader was saying the last couple of years.
You guys want me to do everything. Still have never heard anything like that from a baseball player in my entire
life. Of course, we want to keep Robert in that role, but, man, having a guy like that to come in and do what he did. I mean, the bullpen was tremendous tonight. The whole pitching was fantastic.
Just a good sign that he's got a pulse kind of what's going on and realizes that was a big moment for Robert Suarez to do that in the eighth inning.
It was just it was one of my favorite victories of the year. It really was to beat Max Fried with Waldron, striking out 10 Braves hitters. They look flummoxed all night at the dish, and just can't say enough good things about both wins. And I'd love to see them continue to roll today and get this first one, man.
Now, elsewhere in baseball, just in the world of what makes sense. You could maybe explain the Padres taking 2 of 3 from the Dodgers and now 2 straight from the Braves, sandwiched around that sweep by the Colorado Rockies. Just going, well, the Rockies are just red hot right now. I mean, they're going to beat anybody. And, of course, the Rockies immediately leave Petco Park and get trounced by the San Francisco Giants in 3 games. Outscore 28-10 in the series, those red-hot Colorado Rockies.
Needed you, man. We needed you bad, Colorado.
Got absolutely destroyed by the San Francisco Giants, who have turned to the youngster Luis Matos in their lineup and trying to get something going after a slow start to the season. They're just, I think, a game or game and a half behind the Padres, as are the Arizona Diamondbacks in what is a tight ML West race. The Dodgers lost the opener to that series against the Reds, but then they won 3 in a row, including a walk-off by Shohei Ohtani. The Reds now get the day off. They went home afternoon's game, probably arrived in Cincinnati at a very reasonable time, slept in their own beds, will get an entire day off at home, get to sleep in their beds again, and show up to their home park to face a Padres team that had to play 2 games and get on a flight in Atlanta tonight for tomorrow's game. So the Reds are trying to rebound from a series against the Dodgers. Let's see, the Phillies are just insanely good. They have they just recorded their 6th series sweep of the season, taking all 3 from the Nationals.
That is insane.
At this point,
6 sweeps.
6 sweeps. They're 34-14. It's tied for the best start in franchise history.
6.
And they're watching the Padres beat the Braves and you go, "Great. We are now expanding our lead in the NL East." And they are just cruising right now, playing such good and consistent baseball at the moment.
6 sweeps already. 6.
You know how many the Padres have?
0.
0. None.
6 sweeps is it's actually mind-bending when you think about it. And it's like, oh, they're only, what are they, 20 games above 500, you said?
20 games above 500.
Good Lord.
Jeez.
Good Lord.
Play 500 baseball the rest of the year, they'd still win 92 games at this point.
That is bananas, man. That is bananas.
I think you can expect to see the Philadelphia Phillies in October.
I think so.
You can write that one down. And I thought the other interesting series of the weekend, the Pirates took 3 of 4 from the Cubs, and that included the sensational second career start for Paul Skeens, who on Friday, it was Friday, right? Went 6 innings, no hits, 11 strikeouts. You know, he's already at 100 pitches, so they're not going to let a rookie go further than that in
his smart, yes.
Second career start. But the stuff was electric. Everything that, you know, the eagerly anticipated debut and then the second start have pretty much been equal or above the expectations of what this electric armed youngster has been able to do so far for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I actually couldn't believe his pregame. I couldn't believe it. I watched it and I went, "Oh God!" Baseball gods usually listen to things like this. Apparently, they had taken the afternoon off because the young lady asked him. So, you know, they've seen you before, and you know, are you expecting them to adjust? And Paul Skeens says, "Let them adjust. Good luck." And I went, "Oh, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead." Oh, I finally got my putter figured out. I mean, these are just things you don't say.
Man, I can't miss.
I can't miss. I cannot miss a putt. You say that on your 4th hole. Guys, look at this putter. It's on fire. The golf gods go, "No." And baseball gods typically, to a rookie, also be like, "Bro,
this isn't the time. And he goes out there. He backs it up like a madman. He had those guys lost at the plate. He's so fun to watch. So fun to watch. I don't want to run into him at any time, ever.
Padres will have to run into him sometime, probably in the second half of the season when
maybe
they
we miss him.
Play the Pittsburgh Pirates twice in the second half of the 2024
schedule.
It'd
be great if we missed him both times. Actually, no, I want to watch him pitch. He's really
good. I do kind of want to watch him pitch as well.
Yeah, he's really good.
Do I want to have to beat him to get like into the playoffs?
No, I don't.
We will face, we're definitely going to see him. I'm almost positive because in August, we play a three-game series, the 6th, 7th, and 8th in Pittsburgh. Then we go to Miami for the weekend series, and then we come home on Monday and play the Pirates again. So, 6 games against the Pirates in a week.
Yep, we'll get him.
We will definitely be.
Yeah, you could miss him if he like
pitched, could pitch that weekend.
If he pitched the day before that series, then he'd pitch the series between the two series, and then after the series.
And listen, when's that month, Paulie? What month?
August?
You never know when they're going to shut Paul Skeens down for the year as well, because that's what teams do these days. But I don't know that the Pirates will be in it in August, and that may be the best course of action. But he is certainly fun to watch, man. Never going to get old watching that dude pitch. He commands the zone. He's got electric stuff, and he's got all attitude out there as well. So really, really fun.
Yankees remain the hottest team right now in the American League. I think they've won 7 in a row. They just went, well, the White Sox, but 33-15. So they're hot on the heels of the Phillies for the best record in baseball.
Juan Soto.
This hour, Ben and Woods is brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. Yeah, coming off the series against the Colorado Rockies. Not sure there was a more important game that the Padres have played this year than the one they played on Friday in Atlanta with Matt Waldron going to the mound against the red-hot Max Fried. Talk about that surprising victory for the San Diego Padres after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So when Friday game started and the Padres immediately gave up runs in the bottom of the first inning, a run in the bottom of the first inning, and it looked like Matt Waldron was going to scuffle against the Atlanta Braves lineup, you just had a pit in your stomach going, oh, this is going to be a fourth straight loss, and you know now they've got a tough road trip ahead of them. Is this the moment where the season kind of really unravels now, coming off that series against the Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, you definitely thought too. Waldron's going to last 3 innings, and we are about to torch this bullpen here. And boy, Brian Snitker taking 15 minutes to try to review that play at third base really helped us. I didn't know what the hell had gone on, but it was a really nice throw. It was a good tag by Manny at third. He slid right through his legs, by the way. Manny tagged him on the leg. They were looking. They're going to challenge it. Oh, you ran out of time, pal. Thank God, because at that point, he probably would have been called safe. At that point, it could have been a huge, huge rally in the first inning. They got a gift there, and then they took advantage of it. I did see a lot of panic early about a 1-0 deficit for the San Diego Padres. And you know, listen, Matt Waldron knuckled down. Pun intended.
Pun intended.
Pun intended.
Very nice.
Thank you very much. He knuckled down, and man.
Well, that moment that in that first inning, the lack of a challenge may have been the lifeline that Matt Waldron needed to just help him get out of that inning. And after that, he was fantastic. 5 2/3, 5 hits, 1 earned run, 2 walks, a career-high 10 strikeouts.
Nasty.
And it was just the second time all season the Padres had won a game that either Matt Waldron or Randy Vasquez had started. Now, did they get a ton of offense against Max Fried? Well, they only ended up with the 3 runs in the 5th inning, but they had 9 hits against Max Fried,
yeah,
who had allowed, I think, 8 in his 4 starts combined total. So getting 9 hits against Max Fried and getting him out of the game in the 5th inning, that was a huge win. And even though they didn't add on, they were able to hold on the rest of the game. And I thought the decision by Mike Shildt, I mean, I was so pleased.
The move. Let's just call it the move.
When he decided to go with Robert Suarez in the 8th inning against the top of the Braves lineup.
2-3-4, yeah.
Knowing that that's the spot, the most dangerous spot where a 3-1 lead could be lost is against those batters. And he wanted to, you know, hit the righty against the righties and get Ozzie Albies switched over to the left side, which they felt was a better matchup all the way around. And it wasn't a clean inning. He gave up a couple of hits, yep. had runners there, you know, tying runs out on base when he got out of the frame. And then they were hoping, you know, we can add on here in the ninth, and that's great. Or maybe if he has a quick inning in the eighth, we can bring him out for the six-out save. Didn't work out that way, so they went with Jeremiah Estrada with a two-run lead in the ninth inning. And what does Estrada do?
Strike out the side, dude. Say it, Donnie.
In the ninth inning.
So
down by way of the can.
Just phenomenal. I love to hear it. I love to hear it. I love to see it. I love that move. I was a little bit panicked there. I did not think they were going to bring Suarez back out again. I really didn't. It was a high-stress inning. He threw more pitches than he wanted to, more pitches than he's used to throwing in his inning. And I was like, please don't be Wandy Peralta or Colek. Estrada to me, I said, this, all right, the stuff absolutely plays. he did have three saves at El Paso, so clearly he can get the job done. I loved the move. I thought it was great. I think more managers should do that. That's where the game was essentially saved right there. And Robert Suarez picks up the hold, and Jeremiah Estrada picks up the save. A brilliant win. Let's also be honest. When we saw the lineup come out and we saw Crony batting in the four slot against a very tough lefty, Max Fried, you're like, oh, crap, okay, let's see what we can do. Monster night for Crony, 3-for-5. Profar continued to rake, and just an excellent. Struck out 18 Braves, man, and then scratched out 13 hits off of Braves pitching. All singles, my friend. All singles, just paper-cutted him to death.
When you talk about the lineup, moving Crony down to fourth was, to me, not as significant as Manny moving down to the fifth slot,
yeah.
Which is a place where he has almost never been seen since coming to the San Diego Padres. He's always been in the top four in the lineup.
Pretty much to the big leagues.
His entire career.
Yeah.
It goes to show you that the struggles are real, and the Padres are trying something to address it. And, you know, he remained in the fifth slot yesterday. My guess is he's in the fifth slot this morning. Not going to make a change after winning the first two games of the series. So at some point, Manny will work his way out of his slump, and he will need to be back in the top four spots in the order. But for now, no problem with Manny Machado batting fifth for the San Diego Padres right now.
He was all smiles last night. Doesn't seem like, you know, he's super upset about it. He knows he's scuffling. He's trying to get it going as well. But yeah, man, that was really something by Waldron on Friday night, man. Really something. And kudos to the Padres hitters for just wearing Max Fried down. Great ABs.
Back to Jeremiah Estrada. When the Padres are looking, I don't even know if they are looking for a true setup man to Robert Suarez. It's been very matchup-based with lefties like Matsui and Peralta, or righties like De Los Santos, who's very good against righties but not good against lefties. And maybe Estrada is just another one to add to the mix. But in terms of like the stuff that he's shown, he doesn't have the experience, you know, the massive experience of like a Wandy Peralta. But Jeremiah Estrada is a very intriguing option for more high leverage situations, whether it be in the eighth or the seventh inning. You know, I don't expect to see him in the ninth a lot, except in, you know, unusual circumstances like that game against the Braves. You're usually going to be saving Robert Suarez for those spots. But Jeremiah Estrada has shown the ability to get big league hitters out. And he's done it more consistently, really, than anyone in the bullpen other than Robert Suarez this year. So I would expect more high leverage innings for Jeremiah Estrada going forward.
And when one guy steps up like that, it just slots everybody down one, which is good. That's what you want. That's a problem that Mike Schilt really wants to have. And he can play matchups, Benny, in the sixth and the seventh and things like that with Wandy and Enyel and Yuki Matsui. Yuki Matsui started off so well, and he really looked like he had taken the reins on that setup role. Things change, man. Things absolutely change. And I like that they're willing to look at that and go, all right, this probably isn't working right now. But Estrada to step up like that and take that the other night, and for Suarez to put his ego aside and say, where do we need outs? Let me get them.
Well,
you know?
And notice that Mike Schilt opened his post-game press conference that night with the shout-out to Robert Suarez for doing that. And knowing that ultimately that's going to hurt the back of your bubble come card a little bit.
100%.
You could get a save in that situation. You could wait for the ninth. It looks better on the resume when you get the saves, but it was more valuable for the team to him getting to come into the eighth inning. And he tried to, you know, massage the egos a little bit to make it all work, and I thought he handled it pretty well for Robert Suarez. Now, remember, Robert Suarez isn't, you know, he's not heading toward arbitration.
No.
Trying to get to free agency. He's already gotten his contract. He's locked up with the Padres for, what, 2.5 more seasons after now. So he doesn't really – he's not in a position where he should be saying things like Josh Hader was saying the last couple of years.
You guys want me to do everything. Still have never heard anything like that from a baseball player in my entire
life. Of course, we want to keep Robert in that role, but, man, having a guy like that to come in and – do what he did. I mean, the bullpen was tremendous tonight. The whole pitching was fantastic.
Just a good sign that he's got a pulse kind of what's going on and realizes that was a big moment for Robert Suarez to do that in the eighth inning.
It was just it was one of my favorite victories of the year. It really was to beat Max Fried with Waldron, striking out 10 Braves hitters. They look flummoxed all night at the dish, and just can't say enough good things about both wins. And I'd love to see them continue to roll today and get this first one, man.
Now, elsewhere in baseball, just in the world of what makes sense. You could maybe explain the Padres taking 2 of 3 from the Dodgers and now 2 straight from the Braves, sandwiched around that sweep by the Colorado Rockies. Just going, well, the Rockies are just red hot right now. I mean, they're going to beat anybody. And, of course, the Rockies immediately leave Petco Park and get trounced by the San Francisco Giants in 3 games. Outscored 28-10 in the series, those red-hot Colorado Rockies.
Needed you, man. We needed you bad, Colorado.
Got absolutely destroyed by the San Francisco Giants, who have turned to the youngster Luis Matos in their lineup and trying to get something going after a slow start to the season. They're just, I think, a game or game and a half behind the Padres, as are the Arizona Diamondbacks in what is a tight NL West race. The Dodgers lost the opener to that series against the Reds, but then they won 3 in a row, including a walk-off by Shohei Ohtani. The Reds now get the day off. They went home afternoon's game, probably arrived in Cincinnati at a very reasonable time, slept in their own beds, will get an entire day off at home, get to sleep in their beds again, and show up to their home park to face a Padres team that had to play 2 games and get on a flight in Atlanta tonight for tomorrow's game. So the Reds are trying to rebound from a series against the Dodgers. Let's see, the Phillies are just insanely good. They have they just recorded their 6th series sweep of the season, taking all 3 from the Nationals.
That is insane.
At this point,
6 sweeps.
They're 34-14. It's tied for the best start in franchise history.
6.
And they're watching the Padres beat the Braves, and you go, great. We are now expanding our lead in the NL East, and they are just cruising right now, playing such good and consistent baseball at the moment.
6 sweeps already. 6.
You know how many the Padres have?
0.
0. None.
6 sweeps is it's actually mind-bending when you think about it. And it's like, oh, they're only, what are they, 20 games above 500, you said?
20 games above 500.
Good Lord. Jeez. Good Lord.
Play 500 baseball the rest of the year, they'd still win 92 games at this point.
That is bananas, man. That is bananas.
I think you can expect to see the Philadelphia Phillies in October.
I think so.
You can write that one down. And I thought the other interesting series of the weekend, the Pirates took 3 of 4 from the Cubs, and that included the sensational second career start for Paul Skeens, who on Friday, it was Friday, right, went 6 innings, no hits, 11 strikeouts. You know, he's already at 100 pitches, so they're not going to let a rookie go further than that in
his
second career start. But the stuff was electric, everything that... You know, the eagerly anticipated debut and then the second start have pretty much been equal or above the expectations of what this electric-armed youngster has been able to do so far for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
I actually couldn't believe his pregame. I couldn't believe it. I watched it and I went, oh, God. Baseball gods usually listen to things like this. Apparently they had taken the afternoon off because... The young lady asked him, so, you know, they've seen you before, and, you know, are you expecting them to adjust? And Paul Skeens says, let them adjust. Good luck. And I went, oh, you're dead. You're dead. You're dead. Oh, I finally got my putter figured out. I mean, these are just things you don't say.
Man, and I can't miss.
I can't miss. I cannot miss a putt. You say that on your 4th hole. Guys, look at this putter. It's on fire. The golf gods go, no. And baseball gods
typically to a rookie, also be like, bro, this isn't the time. And he goes out there, he backs it up like a madman. He had those guys lost at the plate. He's so fun to watch. So fun to watch. I don't want to run into him at any time, ever.
Padres will have to run into him sometime, probably in the second half of the season.
Maybe we miss him.
Play the Pittsburgh Pirates twice in the second half of the 2024
schedule.
It'd
be great if we missed him both times. Actually, no, I want to watch him pitch. He's really
good. I do kind of want to watch him pitch as well.
Yeah, he's really good.
Do I want to have to beat him to get like into the playoffs?
No, I don't.
We will face, we're definitely going to see him. I'm almost positive because in August, we play a three-game series, the 6th, 7th, and 8th in Pittsburgh. Then we go to Miami for the weekend series, and then we come home on Monday and play the Pirates again. So, 6 games against the Pirates in a week.
Yep, we'll get him.
We will definitely be.
Yeah, you could miss him if he could pitch
that weekend.
If he pitched the day before that series, then he'd pitch the series between the two series, and then after the series.
And listen, when's that month, Paulie? What month?
August?
You never know when they're going to shut Paul Skeens down for the year as well, because that's what teams do these days. But I don't know that the Pirates will be in it in August, and that may be the best course of action. But he is certainly fun to watch, man. Never going to get old watching that dude pitch. He commands the zone. He's got electric stuff, and he's got all attitude out there as well. So really, really fun.
Yankees remain the hottest team right now in the American League. I think they've won 7 in a row. They just went, well, the White Sox, but 33-15, so they're hot on the heels of the Phillies for the best record in baseball.
Juan Soto going to be looking to put one off the Pacifico side this week.
Apparently, he's done enough to impress Hal Steinbrenner that he's like talking about, is there a way we can sign this guy before he gets to free agency?
I know.
Like, you've been told that he's not doing that. But he's going to free agency.
He went with the same shtick that we heard here of, hey, our doors are always open. You want to come to the table? And I mean, how do you let him go? How do you let him go? If you can afford it, how do you let him go if you're the New York Yankees? You can't.
Maybe you trade him at the deadline and get what you can for him at this point.
Yeah, maybe Michael King, Johnny Burrito, Kyle Higashioka. Would I get that done?
All right, we're already down to our final segment of the day. Get you ready for Padres pregame and Sammy coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Don't go away.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.